The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things came to be. Not one thing had its being, but through him. All that came to be had life in him. And that life was the light of men, a light that shines in the dark, a light that darkness could not overpower. A man came, sent by God. His name was John. He came as a witness to speak for the light, so that everyone might believe through him. He was not the light, only a witness to speak for the light. The Word was the true light that enlightens all men, and he was coming into the world. He was in the world that had its being through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own domain, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who did accept him, he gave power to become children of God, to all who believe in the name of him who was born, not out of human stock or urge of the flesh or will of man, but of God himself. The Word was made flesh. He lived among us, and we saw his glory, the glory that is his as the only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. John appears as his witness. He proclaims, "This is the one of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me because he existed before me.' Indeed, from his fullness we have, all of us, received, yes, grace in return for grace. Since though the law was given through Moses, grace and truth have come through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is the only Son who is nearest to the Father's heart, who has made him known." The Gospel of the Lord. I've been very relieved in the last few weeks, having seen and spoken to some of the children in our parish school, and that those were at the children's party last Saturday, that then they were still high with excitement about Christmas and going through Advent with that buzz of anticipation, because they know and they trust that something good and lovely is about to happen. And as I say, it was lovely just going round in the entrance hymn singing "Where a Mother Laid Her Baby," as a little baby was gurgling away there. And then a short time after that, two children went to the crib. And that's right, because that's where the Lord, not where, you know what I mean when I say that's where the Lord is. Of course he is. That's why the crib is there, to remind us of this great truth. And why I was relieved is because, A, the children are still so excited, and that's good, because the world in many ways is weary and worn. But also because there's been quite a controversy about whether schools should have nativity plays. Have they had their day? Many, many schools don't have them at all. Our school totally ignored any of all that. In fact, every child, from the tiniest one in the nursery, who was about 2 and a half, to those that will be leaving us in the summer that are now 11, all of them took part in it. Absolutely right. Because they're the truth. And that's what they're celebrating, what they're illustrating to us, is the truth. And we get that in all the Gospels, but particularly, of course, in this that we've just heard. But it's Matthew that tells us, first of all, this is the birth of Jesus Christ, how the angel comes to Joseph, how he takes Mary, and those familiar words that Joseph hears, that Mary hears, that the shepherds hear, "Don't be afraid." Many occasions of our life can have dark moments, moments not necessarily just of fear, of apprehension, of puzzlement, of questioning, of what's going on, our feelings sometimes of powerlessness or of fear for the future, moments that we know can last sometimes for days, for weeks, months, even for years. And Joseph hears, and Mary hears, and the shepherd hears, what those of you that know me well have heard me say so often, those similar words come 365 times in the scriptures. And I think it's God saying, you need to hear at some point of every day, don't be afraid, don't be worried, don't be anxious. Don't be worried, don't be afraid, don't be anxious, because what the children celebrated, what we celebrated, God at work. And in the gospel we've just heard, John takes us right to the very beginning. Before things began, the Word already was. And then, at that moment in history, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. And that's why it's important that we do keep the nativities, because it's, in their little way, it's illustrating the truth. God at work, but through people. And the figures is Joseph, but also many other figures play in our nativity plays. That's quite right. And Isaiah calls, and all these people have a part there, because they're pointing us to the truth of God at work. But this year particularly, I was struck reading, very struck, very moved, by the bishop in Aleppo, which of course, as you know, is Syria. And he writes that, I will do my best to spread hope in Aleppo this Christmas, but it's hard to celebrate when your city is in ruins. 4 years ago, Aleppo was a thriving, cosmopolitan place, but everybody has suffered in the terrible Syria's civil war. And he speaks about walking the streets, feeling attacked in a way by the poverty, by the sight of the sick, the tired, desperate people with no hope for the future. And he says, a city that used to be happy and prosperous is now divided against itself. And he speaks about the bitter cold, because you see, we often think the Middle East is hot. It may be hot during the day, but it can be pretty cold. And he said, we've no electricity, we've no heating. Every night, when it gets dark, they light a stove using chairs, which they break up. And eventually, of course, there won't be any chairs left to break up and to burn. And he speaks of going to bed cold, shivering with the blankets, but then remembers how fortunate he is, because he says, many of my brothers and sisters have no place to shelter, no food, no health care, no roof. And of course, many of the Christians have fled or been driven out. He speaks of Mosul, a city where Christian culture survived for over 2,000 years, and now the Christians are driven out. And there was a headline the other day said, is this the last Christmas in Baghdad? Because in one suburb of Baghdad, Dora, there used to be, 10 years ago, 150,000 Christians just in a suburb of Baghdad. It's down to 1,500. And they're worshipping in empty churches behind the barriers and the barbed wire and, of course, the fear all around. He says, how do we bring hope? How do we bring anything of celebration to Christmas for these fellow Christians around the world? And he speaks of little signs of humanity as people share with each other the little that they have. The solidarity he's aware of of his brothers and sisters around the world. That's you and that's me. And I think it was the Bishop of Aleppo. I know it was one that's in that part of the world that spoke to our Bishop Mark when he was in Rome and said, because Mark was reassuring him of our prayers and our concern, and said, but you have great problems too in the West with your faith, with faith. And you see, you reflect, what was the world in the West mad about? Black Friday, when they're fighting each other in the shops, not killing them, but knocking them about for a television or for something like that. Where, how much will be spent today online? That if you shop online, I don't mind, because you've been at Mass. But the wonders that never give a thought for what we're here for, Christ's Mass. Who will spend all that much without a thought of anything else? Or that Cyber Monday, or all those sort of things, you know what I'm saying? And he was saying, you've got huge problems there in the West. And Jesus himself said, you cannot serve God and mammon. And yet, where has the West gone? So a lot of these things all come together in our celebration of the Christ child, because he comes a saviour. People who need to be saved from their sins. And the sin of the world cries at us every time we look at the news. There's something there coming out of the sin of the world. Orphanness. How is the need for the Saviour? But when the darkness falls, the darkness of the world around us, the darkness that we can be in ourselves, then we look to the light. And that I was reminded of going along this morning to Hale, as I just drove down and looking over at Mounts Bay. There was the most beautiful sunrise. It was lovely. There was red, not red, no, it was orangey sky, the sun there, a bit of cloud, but wispy cloud. It was just beautiful. And I just thought, the light shone. And that's what John tells us. The light has shone, and darkness cannot overpower it. It's incredibly difficult celebrating Christmas as in Aleppo, in any of those places. We know, we're aware of that. We surround them with our love and our prayers. But the light still shines, and that light still goes on, because nothing can put out the light of Christ. And our task is to make our light shine in our own world and to those around us this Christmas.